General Council meeting open. We always start off by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We respect their elders, past and present. I'll let everyone know that the audio of the General Council meeting will be available on the City of Marion website. I would especially like to welcome a couple of people. I know we have some residents here interested in local reserves. Welcome to you. I know we have the Chair of our Finance and Audit Committee, Greg Connor. Welcome to you. And I know we have a number of our outside workforce, and you are indeed very welcome as well. It's great that you've come along again to witness another council meeting. Just by way of further introduction, this is basically what we do about 45 nights of the year, either in general council, like this meeting, or a committee meeting, or an information session. And essentially we're volunteers, although we do get an allowance, but as you appreciate, we're not waged for what we do here. Well, the only other thing I wanted to add was that somebody had suggested to me that after the last meeting, I had made the remark when a number of you had left the meeting, keep up the good work. And it was put to me that that was done with a bad intention. I would like to reassure you that I absolutely meant it. I know that you blokes do a very good job for us and for the community, most importantly. And everyone around the table, all of these elected people here and staff, actually appreciate that, regardless of any other things that are going on at the moment. So I'll just leave you with that. I ask elected members if they have anything that they foreshadow might lead to a conflict of interest in the meeting. Councillor Hull? Obvious one? Yes, and I'll put my hand up for that as well. There's some matters to be dealt with later, a code of conduct later in the meeting, and there are three of us involved in that, a little fracas, so we'll get to that in due course. Before we maybe back onto a lighter note, I'd like to ask Councillor Hull and Councillor Valescu, please come forward. If you'd like to come up to the front here, please. Not the way we normally do business, but on this occasion, I would like to present both of you, Councillor Bruce Hull and Councillor Jason Valescu, with a certificate thanking you for your 10 years and more of service at the Marion Council. Well done. And we're all on short-term contracts, so it's not that easy. I'm after someone to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting. Moved Councillor Byram, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried unanimously. The communications are noted. Councillor Kerry.
I seek leave of the meeting to give a personal explanation in relation to the last council meeting.
Right. Well, we'll do that at the. We have a packed agenda. I'll take that at the end of the meeting.
No.
Thank you.
I'm asking for it now.
Your behaviour
has been disgraceful.
Excuse me. You're out of order.
You'll be sent out of the meeting if you persist. Is disgraceful.
Right. Are you going to stop now?
Maybe.
Right. I order you out of the meeting. We'll get the regulations out. Yes. No, if you're going to be disruptive, that's not on. You have the right to make a personal explanation before a decision's made.
I will. Let me just tell you.
Only about your behaviour right now, otherwise it's irrelevant.
Well, I disagree with your point of view. You're not going to tell me what to do. You've tried to bully me.
That's right.
You've tried to bully me. You've tried to bully me, and you've bagged the workers, and your behaviour is a complete and utter disgrace.
All right, are you going to go? Are you going to leave?
Do you ask for a motion, or I can just order?
All right. Well, Could the minutes record that Councillor Kerry left the meeting before further action was taken by Council? Thank you. Now, we get on to... Do we need a motion about communications? All right. A motion to accept those communication reports, please. Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. There are two adjourned items. The corporate risk profile, page 21 of the agenda. Oh, the elected member verbal communications. Well, there are a lot of things we may not get to. I'd ask members' indulgence and seek leave of the matter, leave of the meeting for that to be deferred until after corporate reports, if there's no objection. Councillor Hull?
Something better than that, Mr. Mayor, that maybe we actually have a discussion as a group about doing this better. It shouldn't be sort of crammed in or seen as an inconvenience.
So, if there's an objection, we'll go with it.
Just one
Let's take elected member verbal communications.
No, there is
the option.
I'm not suggesting we do it now.
No, let's do it now.
No, I don't think we should.
If there's an objection, then we should do it now.
And at
an appropriate time, if we want to revisit the order of the agenda, we can do that, but we wouldn't do that during a meeting.
If I can just indulge for a couple of seconds to indicate the issue of... The way the agenda's done, in terms we never get to questions without notice, unlike the previous term. So there's a few things we need to talk about as a group. Not tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. The governance people will take that on notice. We'll discuss it at one of our information sessions. Very well. Elected Member Verbal Communications, who'd like to go first? Councillor Byron. Who's next? Councillor Hull.
Very briefly, last night yourself and Councillor Nathan Pryor attended the Oaklands Estate Residents Association. I think that meeting reflected the interest of our community across the city in regards to the DPA review. And I think it's really important that our administration really focuses on this because of the degree of community interest, and that we actually go out of our way to address any concerns raised during that process, because I think that we actually have a good story to tell. It's with the best of intentions for our community. As I said last night, Mr. Mayor, this is an historic event where for the first time we as a city are reviewing our planning top to bottom, root and branch, and that's to set our city up to succeed, not fail, going forward, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of the state government pushing back on our attempts to actually set ourselves up to achieve. I think it's really important to take that on board at this time and hopefully work with the community to actually put the best possible DPA forward to the government.
Any others? Councillor Telfer. Thank you. Others? Councillor Vlescu.
Okay, is that working? Yeah, excellent. So that was last week. there were, I think, about 30 people expected, and there were 90 that turned up. So it's generated a lot of community interest. I guess for what people need to be clear in the community, the impetus and the reason why we're putting this plan together. And obviously we just encourage people to find out exactly how the plan will affect them or the areas of their concern and make their decision otherwise, and also to have a look at the whole plan in itself. I would like to thank staff because it wasn't what they expected, and they did have to change tact, and I believe that they have an even better contingency if a lot of people turn up at the next meeting. I'm not sure how it went at Hallett Cove, but I heard that it was quite productive. People were able to ask questions in regard to their specific situation. And just an observation, there were people that were concerned about the level of development, it being too much, but there were also people that did wish to further develop their places or see further development in the area, and they wanted to find out how that would fit with the new DPA as well.
Other reports? If there are no other reports, we don't need to note them by motion. We can just move on. So now we go to page 21 on the agenda, the corporate risk profile. Further work's been done on this, councillors, and dare I say, a more realistic sort of appraisal of the various risk levels. But up to you as to what you wish to do with it. You're being asked essentially to note the report. Councillor Pfeiffer. Yeah, is that seconded? Councillor Byram. Moved Pfeiffer, seconded Byram. Any debate? Councillor Hull, got a question?
Just a question. In terms of acknowledging and receiving the report, can we have an undertaking from the administration that we will keep getting those regular updates on the progress of this? Any business would expect the same.
Mr. Scull?
Through the Chair.
Quarterly reports. Good. All right. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. It's now on to the energy review of the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre. Remember, the issue, members, was the parity of treatment of tenants, some of whom we have asked to pay for solar panels, and there is the option of assisting tenants, obviously, with solar panels on council buildings. So we never quite resolved that, and the motion then is for a further report to come back to council. So in the end, that's a fairly straightforward recommendation. Councillor Hull?
To start with, Mr. Mayor, I welcome the report, and I'd like to ask the question in terms of timing. Early in 2018, now we're now in October, so it could be 4 or 6 months away, given that we have the break. Now, during that 4 to 6 months, a lot of money can be lost in terms of the rewards that come from the solar panels, particularly when some of the
Councillor Holt, you could move that with an earlier date if you wanted to. Well, otherwise, what's your question?
Well, the question is this governance question, and that's what it is. It's a governance question about how we manage this. And personally, I think that there should be a contribution from the players, such as the YMCA. But it can't be that hard. And the question is there any way that we can expedite this, given that the question about the governance is not really a rocket science issue?
I think probably one of the allowances staff were making was to provide time for us as members to find a time to discuss the views of stakeholders such as tenants, because we have a packed agenda until January, and at the moment it's sort of being sketched in for a Saturday in January for us to have an all-day session including this topic. So I suppose if people are willing to have an extra meeting this side of Christmas, then it could certainly be done sooner.
Personally, I would have thought the administration would have actually been at the point of putting some models to us by now. That's my personal view, Mr. Mayor.
All right, well, I think I've answered the question. Councillor Telfer?
To move the motion.
Yes, go ahead.
I believe that when we come to look at one facility, we need to know how we're looking after all the tenants in all the other facilities. So it's really important that we discuss a way forward so that all our different facilities have a similar way of working. We cannot just favour this particular Marion and Fitness and Leisure Centre and say we don't have resources for our new centres or for our older centres to have solar or heating or appropriate facilities to do with energy. And we don't know how much each of them at the moment needs to pay, whether we need to set up a structure like we have with our leases. We may need to come up with something that's relevant in terms of equitable facilities and equitable tenants. So I'm happy to move that way.
Is that seconded, Councillor Vlescu?
Look, I agree. I think some centres where there's not as much of a commercial operation, we may look at a different type of contribution to where there are commercial operations, how we look at what percentage of the savings that these people, these organisations will receive as a result of this. So I think we do need some further discussion and perhaps have some sort of yardstick for how we treat each different centre. That said, the sooner this happens, the better. But I do understand that we do have to look at everything that we're responsible for.
Anyone speaking against the motion to bring it back in April? Question from Councillor Gard. There are two things. One is the general council meeting, and it was because it was initiated at that level, it has to keep being adjourned at that level. Meanwhile, on another track, one is looking for available time at a forum session, and they're all so packed until the end of the year. That's been the main hold up, apart from talking to stakeholders. So, Councillor Hull.
Amendment. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I want to put a timeline on this. Projects like this deserve a timeline. To say early next year is too vague, in my opinion, and I would like to see that the report be to us no later than the 20th of February 2018.
Very well. I'll just make sure that that's been recorded. So we're in the middle of the... It's really where it says early in 2018. That could be, oh, I see, in a report brought to council by 20th of February. 20.
Oh, seven.
Well, we are expecting to have a council meeting before that in February, so that pretty well nails it. Okay, that's an acceptable amendment. Do you want to speak to it?
It should be self-explanatory. In any business you or any strategic operation, you have a timeline, and the current motion has got some vagaries about it. Because we could find ourselves suddenly thinking, well, it's the 28th of May, and we still haven't dealt with it next year.
Is the amendment seconded? Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak? I'll put the amendment straight away, very straightforward. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, raise your hand. Motion is carried, so the amendment is carried. Anyone who hasn't spoken can speak to the motion as amended. If not, then back to the mover of the motion, Councillor Tilford, to close the debate.
The emphasis is on the equity between facilities, and I welcome the date coming forward.
All those in favour of the motion as amended, raise your hand. Those against? So that's carried by majority. Thank you. Okay, on to a deputation from Dr. Paul Johnson in relation to the Oliphant Avenue Reserve. So welcome, Paul. We'll find a space for you up the front. You've probably been told you have 5 minutes. I mean, you'd be welcome around the horseshoe, but there are certain procedures you have to follow to get there. No, you're not that crazy. Okay. All right, Oliphant Avenue Reserve. Members are aware. I'll just get the page reference for the actual report. 51. Is that the actual report on the reserve? No, I think 236. If members want to sort of follow that. But you have a slideshow for us,
yes.
Dr. Johnson, so please go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. Elected members, my neighbours and I are grateful for this opportunity to speak about Oliphant Avenue Reserve because we believe Council may have underestimated how much the community values that reserve. First, I'd like to share that my neighbours and I broadly support the set of three recommendations on page 237 of your agenda. They're about retaining Oliphant Avenue Reserve. However, we ask that Council consider passing a different motion. Two slides on, please. That specifically, we ask that Council retains Lot 23 Oliphant Avenue as community land, and that Council approves and supports the establishment of a community garden on this site. We acknowledge that Council will want to consider more than just the outcomes of the community consultation processes that were undertaken for the disposal of Oliphant Avenue Reserve, however, if it's going to adopt this motion. I draw your attention to the discussion at the bottom of page 273. It notes that Council undertook an earlier survey. That survey took place during the busy Christmas and New Year period when many families would have been away. Nevertheless, there were 45 responses. Excerpts from the minutes of January meeting show why residents value the park. I'll try not to read those, but the next slide shows a summary of the main reasons for valuing the reserve. They are that it's accessible to grandparents and young children, that it's a good place to meet neighbours, that it's a destination for people to walk to, and it's a cool place to be in summer. I'm sure Council recognises the alignment of community feedback with the Council draft open space policy. I'm also sure that you'd want residents to know that as councillors, it's your responsibility to sustainably manage community assets. This image that you can see on screen now comes from the sheet Council sent in September 2016. It shows we have an understanding of your draft open space policy, and let me assure you that we do understand the need to maintain a balanced portfolio of assets. My apologies for the clarity of this slide. It was the best I could get from DIPTI at short notice. It shows that if we maintain Oliphant Avenue Reserve, it will be the closest park for many of the new residents who will move into the suburban activity node zone. I'm sure you also recall that all the land around the reserve will be zoned to allow two homes on what had once been one block. There will be smaller gardens and more people. In addition, we know that we're an ageing population and that older people will live at home for longer, and there will be even greater need for nearby reserves. We know that responsive land use is Council policy, and I'm sure you'll keep demographic factors in mind when you make your deliberations. There is one more thing that I want to share, though, and with your Worship's permission. it is that people who live near Oliphant Avenue Reserve have at last been able to meet and discuss the reserve's future. Those discussions led to an idea and a petition that we'll forward for later consideration. The petition contains over 140 signatures gathered in the immediate locale of Oliphant Avenue Reserve. It represents the wishes of the people in the homes marked by those yellow blocks on the slide in front of you. Those 140 plus people ask that Council retain Lot 23 Oliphant Avenue as community land and approve and support the establishment of a community garden on that site. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you.
May I pass those over for later consideration?
Sure. So we can accept that petition and that'll be entered into the records accordingly. You've finished slightly under time, so if any elected members have a question, they might ask you. Councillor Valescu?
That photo, the red dots next to some green space, is there any reason why that green space is just under the red dot? There's that green area.
The red dot was on the council communication and marks the Oliphant Avenue Reserve.
And the one next to it?
That's the southern part of the Oliphant Avenue Reserve.
Oh, okay. So is there any reason why you're saying that the needs of the community can't be fulfilled just with that one? And this is just a question.
We haven't contemplated those reasons. The impetus for this suggestion was the sale of the northern part.
Councillor Hutchinson.
If there's one, yeah, now we're on. Thank you, Your Worship. Dr. Johnson, would you consider selling the southern portion of Oliphant Reserve? Because from Council's discussion in the past, that was actually our initial intention.
I can't speak on behalf of my neighbours in that regard. I know that some people have said that they would rather the southern portion be sold because it's undeveloped. I know that other people have said we don't want any open space sold. I think if you consider the case of six stories just within a couple of hundred metres, six stories within less than 100 metres, four stories within a couple of hundred metres in the new suburban activity node zone, I think you'll see that it's the closest park and the only one that would be within 500 metres for those people on the eastern end of the high rise.
Any final questions to Councillor Crossland?
Thank you, Dr. Johnson, for coming in. On the council reports, area have an open space, which is probably 10 times more than most residents in more highly developed areas. What do you say to that on an equity provision?
Yes, equity is an important issue, but remember, equity doesn't mean equal. If you have a look at the schematic for the suburb, it's divided right through the middle by a railway line and a creek. So access from the north to the south isn't easy. If you have a look at the adjoining suburb, I'm not sure of its exact name, Oaklands Estate is actually closer to the Oaklands wetlands, which is the most significant part of that figure that you've just quoted. So people living in other suburbs are actually closer to that open space than the people on the southern side of the train line and the people on the southern side of Sturt River. So this idea that a whole suburb can be averaged out and that a grandma can walk from where we are or just near where we are past a whole lot of places to Kenton Reserve or to cross the train line or past four-storey houses when they're built might not be equity.
Rightio, I'll have to go to the final question. Councillor Byrne.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, thank you for coming in tonight. The two parks that are there side by side, there's just a very small gap between them when I went and had a look. And I was concerned that the area at the back is really on a bit of a dead-end road, that if this northern park does get closed and it's only the southern one, would you have a garden there, do you think? Which area of the, so there's several questions. And which area are the main residents looking at, the northern one? Where do they live, either side of it, around that, or are they in Perrin as well?
Could we go back to the last slide on that PowerPoint? It shows yellow boxes. We had a community meeting on Thursday last week, and different neighbours took different streets, and we just went along, and the people who happened to be in were happy to sign the petition. There are 140 people signed that. Two people said they were too busy to talk. Nobody said no. What we didn't ask is for people in Perrin, which is right where the word reserve is. We neglected to ask one of our neighbours to walk along there and knock on doors. But you can see pretty much all the way around people want to talk about a community garden there.
Did that answer your question, Councillor Byrne?
All right. I point out that we didn't go further than the extent of that map.
All right.
Nobody asked near George Street or anything like that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you.
Now, as is our custom, we don't necessarily follow it, but our custom is to move items relevant to a deputation, if they are in corporate reports, to this part of the meeting, so that those who are present can observe it. Welcome also to Mr. Day Lee, who I know was the head petitioner who had approached council before. So with leave of the meeting, I would deal with the Oliphant Avenue Reserve matter now, unless anyone objects. All right, let's deal with that now. It's on page 236. Councillor Pryor. Councillor Pryor's bringing up a written motion. That's being put up on the screen by staff. Please proceed with your motion, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, look, firstly, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the petition. After the last meeting, this item's been in the meeting notes before. There's a little bit of conjecture raised about the petition, about the fact that it wasn't quite what we were expecting. And so the residents got together and they really went out and they followed all the guidelines for the petition and got 140 odd signatures, which is a fairly good effort in a local area like this. What it does show is that there's clear support for the establishment of a community garden here, very clear support. And there's actually a lot of support for not selling that block of land. It does have some endearing features that are not on the back block. The back block is quite underdeveloped. It's a bit rough. The front side of the block has a couple of nice trees for shade. Look, if you're looking at establishing a community garden as a council, the first thing you need is some land. That's not so hard to come by. We can do that. The second thing you need is a willing community group. That's a little bit more difficult to come by. And the third thing you probably need is a small amount of infrastructure, garden beds, maybe some irrigation. There's a huge opportunity here for us to set up something with very little cost. We don't lose anything. We still own the land at the end of the day. The garden, if we were to put some garden infrastructure there, we already have irrigation on the block. It's already there. We have a willing community group. We have the land. It would be a shame to waste this opportunity. We lose nothing. I mean, if this garden doesn't work, if the residents really don't want it in 12 months' time, guess what happens? The same motion comes up again, I'm sure. So we lose nothing. I say we should give them a go. Thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, please proceed.
Mr Mayor, right across our city, we've been engaged in reviewing our open space. O'Connell Street is an example. There's been many others. And this is another one. And the consequence of provoking the community with the possibility of rationalisation of open space does create conflict. And in any relationship, sometimes conflict brings out some good outcomes.
it brings about discussion, it brings about consideration and thoughtfulness about what we can take for granted. And in this case, we've got exactly that. These guys did present a petition that was somewhat flawed. That's been corrected big time. Even now you can see on a map exactly where all the respondents have come from. And I congratulate the doctor for his presentation. It's one of the better ones that was within the 3 minutes provided. Members, in outside of the Warrakowie ward, each of you, all of you, have the benefit of a community garden. Maybe with the exception of the one up north being Mullawira. So what we're proposing is to give us an opportunity to have a community garden in our ward. We don't have any. We did try. We tried to actually have a community garden in Warradale Park Reserve. The council administration turned those people away. This is the opportunity to finally get a community garden in our ward. It's a small expense in terms of infrastructure. The community are well aware that they can approach other entities for funding, grant funding, corporate donations and the like. I urge the administration, if this motion is successful, is to assist them in their quest to create a community garden. Early in the council term there was a bus tour of our city in regards to community gardens that even went to community gardens in another council area, it being Holfast Bay. So this is a wholesome outcome to our quest to actually rationalise open space. The argument put forward of the barriers to access to open space that is in the region, being railway line, a significant one, and the Sturt River, has to be really considered. Sorry? 7 seconds. And the other thing is that we've already identified this in our thoughts about this anyway.
Being the Councillor Hull, is that seconded? Sorry, it's seconded. Is anyone speaking in opposition to the motion? If no one's speaking in opposition to the motion, I'll simply put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. Thank you. So we can resume to where we were in the agenda. And we're on page 52 with the committee recommendations. Questions are welcome, but those three committee sets of minutes could be moved en bloc. Councillor Byrne to move en bloc all three sets of minutes. Seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We move on to confidential items, and that could be good timing. So on page 78 of your agenda, you'll see some matters of confidential nature, and I'd ask someone if they would like to move the appropriate confidential motion. Councillor Valescu, moving as printed on page 78. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So we've just passed a motion for a further confidential session, but on sorry, folks, we've got one more confidential matter to deal with. So hopefully it's comfortable out in the foyer. Well, it's in the hands of council, Councillor Hull. The one I was talking about, I mean, there's another matter which staff have placed on the end of the agenda, but it's in the hands of council as to when that is dealt with. I was talking about the planning matter to start with. Well, I can see the sense in that, but I'm trying to work through a fluid agenda as best as I can. Let me first put to you this planning item. Would someone like to move the confidential motion in relation to that? Councillor Westwood? No. Councillor Byrum? And seconded Councillor Westwood. Okay. All those in favour? All those against? This is the... That was just the confidentiality. Members, I'll just be clear about the options available to you. We're dealing with Councillor Kerry's disorderly conduct. He's had the opportunity to make a personal explanation. That had to be cut short because he didn't comply with the Chair's direction. The options, according to Regulation 29 and our own, I suppose, Rule 17, are... it would normally be dealt with by either a resolution to censure the member or suspend the member for a part or the remainder of the meeting. So they are the two options, or it could be to take no further action. So I'd invite someone to move accordingly, either to censure Councillor Kerry, suspend Councillor Kerry for some part of the remainder of the meeting, or to take no further action. Councillor, question from Councillor Hull.
If we actually take one of the courses of action, could it be suggested that he being Councillor Kerry, was denied natural justice by not being able to provide a personal explanation?
I'm informed by governance that the motion would be to note only, and that there would actually be no further leeway provided to council. So under those circumstances, it doesn't really raise itself as an issue. But I'll ask our governance manager to comment.
Through the chair, yes, the mayor is correct.
So Councillor Crossland to move.
Just a question, Your Worship,
yes.
First of all. Can we actually do both, suspend him for the rest of the meeting in case he returns and censure him?
Yes, it is possible to do both.
Can I move that way just in case he does come back then, please?
Yes, the motion is that Councillor Kerry be suspended for the remainder of the meeting and that he be censured for his behaviour earlier in the meeting.
Perfect.
If I can just flesh that out for you. Thank you. Very well. Did you wish to speak to that?
No, thank you. I think everybody wins, and I'm hoping that this puts an end to that ongoing behaviour.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Garr, did you wish to speak to that? Very well. I mean, in a sense, we were all witnesses, so we can all judge the issue. Did anyone wish to speak against the motion? Question from Councillor Blescu?
Would this process be better served to wait when the Councillor Kerry has returned, so he's able to...
Well, he left of his own accord. The door is open.
Okay.
That really deals with that issue. Councillor Hull?
This is a question that really needs to be asked. Is this a timely warning to all elected members, and I stress all elected members, mayors included, that it is not our place to be involved in enterprise bargaining agreements?
No.
It's best left for the professionals.
Councillor Hull, I can answer that. The reason that the motion is brought forward is not because of involvement in enterprise bargain negotiations. It's actually the defiance of the chair and being disruptive during the meeting.
But there is
cannot function as a group of decision makers if people are going to be yelling at the chair and disrupting the order of the meeting. That is the essential point.
I agree with you, but there is the root problem.
No, we're not really addressing that root problem. It was about the behaviour that you witnessed, the disruption and the defiance and the disrespect. That's what it's about.
Okay.
Thank you for the clarifying question. If there are no other contributions, then I'll simply put it to a vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. And thank you, Councillor Westwood, for bringing that matter back on. Right. Now, in the normal course of things, we would just proceed and deal with other matters. So, we go to the Finance and Audit Committee annual report to Council. Mr. Connor's been patiently waiting. I hope the cappuccinos are good out in the foyer. We're on page 80 of the agenda. Would you like to come forward, Mr. Connor, in case there's a question? Yes, well, funny, once we started charging $4 a cappuccino, nobody wanted them. Members, you have the report there. It seems pretty clear, a comprehensive series of topics dealt with by the Finance and Audit Committee. Any questions of Mr. Connor before we dispatch the matter? Councillor Hull.
Is there any standout item that we as a body need to actually consider and focus on?
Thank you, and I'd just add my comment generally that the minutes of the Finance and Audit Committee are often couched in terms like the language of the Delphic Oracle, and you have to sort of discern and figure out what is where it's really heading and what the, you know, how to uncover what's really there. But I have to say it certainly has been probably more and more evident the interrogatory capacity of the committee, and you can actually see the benefit in the things that have been uncovered and improved in our practices, for what it's worth. Mr. Connor, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, well, I think we're...
Councillor Gard.
Yes, Mr. Connor, thanks again for a very enlightening report and for work done this year. It's, there's no doubt about the quality of it. I think most members know that I have a bit of a pet thing about debt, good debt versus bad debt, and how we move forward with the use of debt at given levels. So with that in mind, do you see the potential for synergy between, in particular, the strategic planning side of our infrastructure and strategic planning forums and the finance and audit? In other words, should the two be relating to each other a little bit more, or and if so, how do you see that could work?
Connor. Okay, other questions? Councillor Telfer?
I struggle with the operating surpluses being large so that we create capital to do all of our infrastructure capital works, which are our major business and what we spend most of our time around this circle doing. Is there any other way that we can list within proper accounting standards and recognise that that large operating surplus needs to be there for capital works and for us to do what we are here to do?
Mr. Connor.
Sorry. I was getting a lesson in how to turn on the microphone. So I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question, I apologise.
I'm struggling with that whole idea that the operating surplus needs to be large so that the capital is available for our infrastructure works. Is there any other way that we can represent our need for this capital, because it always looks as though we're flush with operating surplus?
Some of that surplus is not cash. It is references to the improvement in some of your properties. So it's not something that on occasion you can actually draw on. I think what it's about, Councillor Telford, is to really, it's presented there. You really need to work out what your cash is at the end of the year, and if you've got real cash and you want to spend it, then you don't have the interest expense. You don't get the interest on the cash that you've spent, and work out the best way to work through debt and equity on any one solution, so that in the end of the day, and I mean there is this argument about intergenerational borrowings that you need to strategically consider when you're looking at some of these projects, but you still can have all the intergenerational borrowings you like, but if you can't afford to pay them, then you're looking a bit silly. So it's that balance. And again, do I stress that it's okay to look at it on an individual basis, but look at it collectively too on the way through.
Any final questions? Then would someone like to move the motion, please? Moved. Councillor Hutchinson, is that... did you wish to speak to it? No. Councillor... Who would like to second the motion? Councillor Gard, wish to speak to it? No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Connor, for coming along. Keep up the good work. I don't mean that sarcastically. I really mean keep up the good work. Thank you. Sorry, bit of an in-joke. Now, we have the annual financial statements and also, I was going to suggest, the investment performance report, which is actually quite favourable, could be dealt with en bloc. Together, we have Penny Wood, Ms. Penny Wood from Deloitte, our external auditor, who's available for questions if you wish. Start off with questions if you have any. Councillor Hull.
The issue of our, and welcome by the way, the issue of our operating overruns, operational overruns, and this is depicted on page 89, certain elected members have their own perspective on this, but I'd like to know your perspective in terms of it being, well, this is what, 11.8 million looking at the graph in 16-17. So I'd like to know what your view is on the situation, which is trending up.
And Ms. Wood, if you could particularly answer that with reference to what I call true carryovers, which is budgeted capital expenditure, which is unspent.
Well, I'm actually not really at place to comment on that, because as an auditor, our role is to check the historic financial statements and the financial data. It's not to comment on the future. So...
The numbers add up. Job done.
I'd love for you to be able to predict the future, but that could be a disappointment, but it's not. This is a reflection. This is
7A. So the trend is going up. I'd like to know what you think about that.
So there are obviously the you get the lumpiness that comes through from the grant funding through the financial statements. But really, again, I think it's probably management's place to comment on the reason that the financial numbers have moved and not necessarily the place of the auditor to comment on the movements in the financial statements.
Well, Councillor Hull, we're dealing with the financial statements. It gives you a fair bit of latitude in terms of questions. Would you like to take that up with staff?
Well, sure.
Right now, I mean.
Yeah, like, and it does conflict with
yeah, okay.
the previous item.
Well, can I call on Mr. Mifsud, the General Manager? Sorry, Mr. Barnwell, Finance Manager.
In 1670, which is higher than the previous year. This has been impacted by additional advance grant funding of $1.4 million, which is essentially being carried over to next year. But it does go into our operating statement for 1617 because we received it before 30 June and we have to account for it in 30 June, 1617, which actually has a $2.8 million, if you read the report, this is a $2.8 million variance because the previous year some of that funding was prepaid in the prior year to that. So it actually makes a difference of $2.8 million over the 2 years. It distorts the sort of variance. Obviously, we prepare a balanced budget. So obviously with operating, we have a surplus there, but we also have capital works, an extensive capital works program, which is carried out throughout the year, which brings us back to a balanced budget. It should be important to note here, because I know referring to capital expenditure and do we spend the money on our capital expenditure, we did budget in 1617 for approximately $18 million worth of capital works. We did end up doing almost $21 million of capital works in the 1617 year, which is a vast improvement on previous years. And it also has had the effect of actually reducing the carryovers going forward. So, and also, I suppose one of the key points around the cash balance is that council obviously is in a strong cash position, but it has a considerable amount of cash reserves there in reserve funds around asset sustainability reserve and carryovers, which we talked about. But I think it's important to note that the cash position, if you look from 15-16 to 16-17, the cash position has actually gone up by about $13 million. It's important to point out, we do allocate funding to the reserves, like through CFPP. There was $1.9 million added in the budget, so that essentially goes to the reserve, which is essentially goes to our cash balance. We've also had savings of $3.2 million during the year. We've also received grant funding in the order of $2 million for the BMX project. We've also disposed of buildings. We have the sale of the old Helico Library and Youth Centre, $1.5 million, which is added to that cash balance. And we've also sold another building, Talk H, as you know, which is added another amount to that balance. So there is a considerable amount of cash actually essentially going into our reserves through our budgeting process and also through the sale and disposal of assets and optimisation of our asset programme. So that has added. So our reserves are cash funded. They have increased. But as you know, there's a number of considerable major projects coming up which Council is seeking to use some of that funding on, in particular things like Edwardstown, which we've allocated $4.4 million to use of those cash reserves. So.
Well, thank you. It really is important for us to understand this, because when we start talking about spending money, we can actually realise where we're at and what we can afford to do. So. Namely footpaths and the like.
All right. So. Councillor Gard had a question.
Yeah, sort of a general question for pages 92 to 94 inclusive. There's mention of ratios and there's mention of targets, for example, on page 92 under working capital ratio and asset sustainability ratio, but there's not a great deal of discussion about why we're not matching up very well with our targets, good or bad, in relationship to that. And likewise on some percentages mentioned on page 93, etc. So it's just a general comment. Would it be possible where ratios and percentages of, in terms of financial performance are mentioned, and they are out of kilter with our targets, just to elaborate a little bit more on how they might best meet target in the following financial year or similar. In other words, just a little bit more explanation of how we're going to rectify the trend which is off target. That's and I'm only suggesting through the chair, Mr. Bowman, a few paragraphs, not pages, but just a little bit more qualification of the gaps.
Yes, sure. Something commensurate with a concise question. Thank you.
Through the chair, thank you. I'm happy to in future to actually provide some more extra commentary on that basis. As by way of there is explanations put in here, but maybe it's not meeting your requirements. It should be pointed out that most of these ratios, whilst they may be out of kilter, as you would say, they are actually in a very favourable position because of our strong cash position.
Thank you. Let's have a. Have we got a motion?
No, we don't have
well, so long ago. Got a motion. Have we?
Without
a, no, not even a motion. Councillor Crossland moves that those two
motion
reports.
Motion is printed, both reports.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer? Any further discussion? Feel free, but if not, then I'll put those motions. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Wood, for coming along. That's about the softest grilling I've seen for a long time. Now, we move on. We've dealt with asset optimisation. I suppose we deal with Ranger Street Reserve next on page 300. So, Councillor Crossland. They were dealt with en bloc, both items. Sorry, I didn't make it clearer. But it was a good result, that's the main thing. So, Councillor Crossland.
Your Worship, I...
Feel free to begin speaking to the motion while it's coming up.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, in line with a motion coming up later, which is a rescission motion, the Connell Reserve and the motion earlier today, I think we're at the point where the policy of asset optimisation and the will of the Council's pretty much collapsed in taking any positive action in getting rid of these assets that... I don't believe we can just then cherry pick just the ones where we don't get any community feedback. And I think Councillor Valescu raised a great point that we're at the point again where the people who can't muster up a petition or voice a deputation are the ones that are actually losing the assets, not because they deserve to lose the assets, but because they're not actually organised enough to actually come to the meeting and shame us into not voting for something. So I'm going to speak up for them, and I think that we actually need to review this policy and maybe put it over to the next council, and let's see if the next council can tackle this situation, because we clearly cannot tackle this. It's going to be an ongoing issue. I think we're wasting staff time, and I think I would rather see our staff employed doing something else than creating this ongoing issue.
Well, of course, this is one where the community consultation's already been and gone. However, that's moved. Is it seconded? Well, I was just saved by the bell there. Councillor Pryor, are you seconding?
Yes, I am. Only because you weren't looking, it was saved by the bell.
Yeah, look, I agree with Councillor Crossland here. I think we do need to revise our policy. Back at the start of this direction, one of the things that I was really keen on is providing give and take to the community, and we haven't gone with that at all. I mean, like, for example, with the Wheeze Avenue, which is coming up later in the meeting for a similar style of revocation, there's no argument for a councillor to make back to the community. I mean, and one of the things that we really struggled with Oliphant Avenue was the trade-off. Like, our residents, of course, they're all going to come out and say, we don't want to lose this asset. If you've got something to trade off with them, oh, look, we're not losing an asset, we're just transforming it into something else, then it's a reasonable argument. And I think the next council should take note of that. If this is a policy we want to go with, we're going to need to provide give and take. We're going to need to provide... We're going to dispose of this block of land, but we're going to do something else here in your local area as a compensation. And I think that will make a much better arrangement for everyone. It'll be much, much easier for us to find our local residents and say, look, we're really trying to help out here. We're trying to improve this service, rather than just, oh, no, we're getting rid of that land because it doesn't fit with our strategy. So I'm on board for this one.
Now, mover and seconder, I'll give you two choices. One is that you can proceed with a motion that may be out of order. The other one is that I can help you with wording which would make sure there's no risk of that. How would you like to go?
We would much prefer, I think, to move a motion that won't be ruled out of order, Your Worship, if you could assist.
Well, Councillor, the concern is that at some point, and we don't have it readily in front of us, I think there was a council resolution to proceed with an asset optimisation program. Therefore, if it's a rescission, it needs certain notice to be given. What we could do, which is not inconsistent with that, would be, as your part two, proceed no further with the asset optimisation program until it has been discussed at an elected member forum.
I think we'd be happy with that.
So if the mover and the seconder, by leave of the meeting,
absolutely,
the mover and seconder are adopting that wording. Until it is discussed at an elected member forum. And if we take off the date, because there is a programming issue with that as well. Oh, well, we can time that. So, that should be clear to members. Anyone speaking, against the motion or questions? Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, I thank the member for mentioning my name before I spoke. What my concern is that we're looking at this is it's pretty much all or nothing approach. And I think when Dr. Johnson pointed out that there are certain nuances to certain sites, I don't think we can have a look at a blanket approach when he talked about equity and what is equitable. So I'm happy for further discussion on this reserve, but I think we need to look at that. And I don't think just because a couple have come through, which one I didn't support, and obviously the second one I did, to keep it as open space, I think we still need to proceed. So I'm happy for more of a discussion, but I'm not in favour of getting rid of asset optimisation and kicking the can down the road, because we have done some work on this, and it does, you know, this one's hasn't had the same response. And in regards to the demographics, I think, you know, a similar demographic to what we've had in some of the more vocal areas. So I don't see it as an area of disadvantage. Possibly people weren't aware. I'll give that. But I don't think it's an area where there's the same challenges that people have to be able to articulate the same, you know, there's... So I wouldn't compare it with some of the areas that I was referring to when I got mentioned by... the member for the Coastal Ward.
Now, anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? If Councillor
Oh, yes. Well, Westwood. I certainly am in favour. I'm always in favour, or most of the time in favour, of retaining public land. But I think that in particular we do need to, in the future, consider the method that we use to work out what we do with various assets, in particular land, and perhaps we're not using the right formula, and maybe we have to develop a new formula that includes subtleties that we haven't up to this stage included. So it does seem that it's not working in particular, because if we're challenged with public reaction to it, a negative reaction to our suggestion of trying to dispose of public land, a petition, that's the word I was looking for, so that, and we do react to petitions, especially when they're fairly significant, we really have to think, well, why haven't we thought of, why are we so affected by it? Is our method foolproof? Is it waterproof? And it's not. So we do need to rethink it. I have to agree with that. So, but I am in favour at this stage of further discussion in shortly, and retaining the land until then. Thank you.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, sorry, against, I should have said, but an amendment fits the bill perfectly. Yeah. Yes, Councillor Hull.
That I would like to see that we actually have that we retain Ranger Street Reserve and Louise Avenue Reserve if we're going to be
decisions?
Having a holistic approach.
Councillor Hull, I rule the amendment out of order because you'll need a rescission motion, I think, to deal with Louise Reserve, and it's on the agenda later tonight.
No, you're quite right on that one.
Thanks for your confidence.
Can I ask a question, though, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
In the Mulla Wirral Ward, what are the reserves that Councillor Valeska was putting forward to be contributions to the asset sustainability?
No, order. It's not a matter of councillors putting forward contributions, not at all. Staff have been reviewing reserves all over the city, and they presented various options to us, and we've gone down the aisle and danced with several of them and then left them at the altar. But it's not up to individual councillors to push these things forward. Councillor Gard, are you, let's say for or against? Go for it.
Well, it was really more a question of clarification. Councillor Crossland's first part of the amendment, that we retain Ranger Street Reserve, is that heading us towards, I guess it is heading us towards a rescission motion down the track if indeed the policy changes, or should we look at an amendment to that that says subject to review of policy?
Councillor Gard, after the next election, that is future terms of council, a different decision could be made about Ranger Reserve without Ranger Street Reserve without the need for a rescission motion.
Yeah.
It's six more tackles after every election.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
So to speak. Councillor Byron?
Yes, I'm actually speaking against the motion. We have already got an asset optimisation program, so, and I do believe that that is important and that we get that policy organised. But with Ranger Street Reserve, we've looked at that extensively in the joint ward briefings between Coastal and Southern Hills. We've looked at this one extensively. It is one that was identified as could be sold off, and I just don't think that we should stop this one just because we're seeing other people ask for others to be stopped. I think this one is one that can still go ahead.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? If not, then it's back to Councillor Crossland to close the debate.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. It's not really about individual reserves at this stage. It is about where we're heading as a council. We're not really looking at this holistically. It's just whoever's got the loudest voice stops certain reserves. Dr. Johnson has argued successfully for Oliphant. He's actually got a reserve right next to it. So it's not about distance. I'm sure if we offered the people of Ranger Street the option of a community garden, they've got to walk some considerable distance up a hill to get to reserve, and topography was one of the reasons quoted to make the decision on Oliphant Street. I think you can't just have one policy for some and not for others. It needs to be rethought, and we need to, again, agree what we're going to do with these reserves.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That motion is carried by majority. Very well. Now we move on to a couple of finance reports. The first budget review and the annual corporate performance report, I mean, they're both different, but they seem to be in order. If somebody wants to move them on block, it would be in order. Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. Any questions? If not, then I'll put that motion. All motions, all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Annual report. I did bring a couple of matters to Mr. Mifsud's attention about contents of the annual report, and I believe Mr. Mifsud has some replacement pages to offer members. You know, I've made the point before, it's one of the most serious deficiencies in the operations of the City of Marion. There was, this you'll see before you, I think it's on page 315. No, 350, yeah, 351. There it is. There it is. Shocking, isn't it? That apostrophe, an excessive apostrophe at the top of the page. Anyway, that's been tidied up. I will not rest until I've found the apostrophe elf that takes them from words and council reports and puts them back in others. I know staff are onto it. We've got the inspectors onto it. At any rate, the adjusted annual report pages are being put up on the screen. I'll just alert members to the other changes. Page 352, committee sitting fees was a bit unclear, ambiguous, and revised clearer wording is being inserted. Independent on that same page 352, independent member attendance at meetings, the results of the previous financial year had stayed in, so we had reference to Mr. Govin, Daniels and Billsborough, so they've been taken out in the corrected version. And Mr. Mifsud had one more on page 139. Oh, how can it be 139? Oh, that's been covered. That's been sorted, yep. So it's really just those points, nothing major. I'll take any other questions about the annual report as well. Well, Councillor Gard, do you want to move? Be accepted.
I'm just wondering whether an amendment is needed to point one, where you have removed the, and it looks like it could be a mark, or it looks a little bit misleading. Shouldn't it be the word apostrophe and not the actual apostrophe?
Thank you, Councillor Gard. Je approve.
Most welcome, Your Worship.
Adopts a report. Would someone like to move and second? At least we can make a little bit of progress. Councillor Hutchinson moved. Seconded. Councillor Telfer. Can't vote on it just yet.
Just while we're waiting, Your Worship, can I make a comment?
Yes, Councillor, please do.
since I moved. The attendance at meetings is somewhat misleading, given that some of those memberships changed partway through. So although there were six urban planning meetings, not all members were on the committee at the time. So that kind of needs a bit of
a footnote would kind be of say preferable,
at the end of November, doesn't it?
Mm. I mean, the ideal what that is meant to indicate is something like 3 out of 3 or 3 out of 6. It should indicate that the member has attended the
Agreed.
Number of, or, you know, what proportion of the meetings they could have attended they did actually attend.
Yeah.
That's what it should show. All right.
Do we need a percentage, maybe?
Or a fraction?
Well, what we'll do is just add a general correction once this has been typed up. And I suppose it's time to start thinking what we can ditch from the agenda in the remaining hour. But really, we want to get through those corporate reports at least. I think it will run more smoothly once we get through this. Could have done the elections while we're waiting. Right. Now, if I can just help you out here, Lon, on the first line, paragraph 1, appendix 1, the end bracket should come after the words "this covering report." It's just the bracket, just the end bracket. No, leave it, yeah, that's it. Bang. It's really just a big apostrophe. Now, page, number 2, we've got presiding. Now, with parts 1C, you've got independent with a second D in the first line. Thank you. Actually 3 Ds, isn't it? Independent. P-E-N-D. Great. Now, could we add a sentence to that? The table shall be further amended to indicate the number of meetings attended by each member out of the maximum which could have been attended by that member. Well, even that's not perfect, but you get the idea. Everyone's happy. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you for your cooperation.